Hello, everyone. My name is Ilana Plumer. I am the Director of Marketing at Linewise, and I have here today Ross Young and Jeff Patterson. Why don't you guys kind of introduce yourselves?
Yeah, so I'm Vice President of North America for Linewise, and been here, you know, a couple of years, and we've really been growing quite rapidly, and you know, recently partnered with Gaggle. So, you know, Jeff and I have known each other over the years in the educational industry, and we look forward to the call today.
All right, so I have my real title and then my official title. So my real title is that crazy Gaggle guy. Right, and my real title, is that the real one, or I don't know anymore. Anyway, CEO of Gaggle, I'm known as the crazy Gaggle guy because I started the company over 20 years ago, and I was pitching this idea and going from conference to conference and stayed consistent, foolishly maybe. But anyway, so I'm the founder and CEO of Gaggle, and we work with school districts across the country to help keep their kids safe.
So today, you know, we have both obviously Linewise and Gaggle here. And we wanted to talk about how to keep students, how to keep kids safe online wherever they are. So especially in today's climate, students are learning at school, but also at home right now, sometimes even a hybrid version of that. And when it comes to technology, there's generally, you know, that technology kind of AI component, and then there's the actual human component. And really what I wanted to talk about today is how school districts need to kind of be in both areas to truly keep their kids safe online. And Ross, I know you've been in the K-12 filtering industry for quite some time now. What are the ways that you think technology specifically is helping students stay safe while they're online?
Yeah, great. So, you know, naturally being in the content filtering space, the technology has visibility across every transaction that goes across every single device and computer and IoT across the entire district. So content filters typically were designed just to block pornographic content by giving a reputation to a website and saying, hey, this matches, let's block it based on who they are. It's really grown from that, you know, with AI that we've implemented inside of our system and other technologies out there, to where now we're getting contextual data on and we're combining, hey, what videos do they look at? What websites do they go to? And then what do they search for? Some of those things require, you know, deep visibility into encrypted websites. So we're scoring and putting some of those things together to, you know, from a technology point of view, to give an early indicator on, hey, is this child potentially, you know, looking at inappropriate material? Are they potentially at risk for, you know, depression or suicide, et cetera? But that only does so much, right? That only points people in the right direction. So from a technological point of view, that's what we do as an organization to provide schools or service like, you know, a Gaggle to make sense of what that really is. So technology really only goes so far. You know, a lot of people think, hey, AI has the ability to think like a human, right? It can really only point people in the right direction for a human to interact.
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to kind of having both sides of it, I know, Jeff, that Gaggle has a team of trained safety professionals who work 24/7 to evaluate blocked content, kind of that human side of things. So how have you seen school districts be able to keep students safe from more of the human monitoring side of things?
Yeah, like I think you're exactly right. It all fits together. And I don't think a lot of people understand how complex it is what Linewise does, right? Just filtering, it's so much data, right? And Ross alluded to this, that you have to have artificial intelligence to sort of sort through that much data, right? And decrypting all that data. And again, artificial intelligence, we use that in machine learning. It's really just automated pattern matching. And not all patterns repeat the same way. And so that's why you need to have a human element too, to sort of evaluate, is this a false positive? Because we don't want to overwhelm our school district with false alerts. And then once you have these alerts, some are good to know, some are I should know about this, and some are I have to know about this right away. And so sort of that identifying and sort of triaging which ones are immediate and have to know, and that's what's really important.
Well, you say, Ryan, kind of to add to that, and that's why, you know, combining our technologies you know, in a partnership, when a school district has both, they really get, you know, the best of both worlds. And, you know, we talked about this offline, Jeff, and now it's coming to fruition. So it's been, you know, really effective for all the districts that you know, we work with together.
So I especially for the IT side of the house, right, at school districts, to get these alerts without any context, right, overwhelms. You're a network administrator. You want to be monitoring these things. You want to be keeping the network up and solving problems and making your systems better. You know, if you get these alerts and you're not looking at them, there's a potential increased liability if you don't know which ones are immediate that you have to address and which ones you don't.
Right. And to add on to that, Jeff, you know, let's be direct. IT folks aren't trained in mental health, right? I mean, you know, and think about, first of all, as a network admin, all the hats they're wearing, right? They're managing everything from security, endpoint management, you know, firewall, wireless, the printer goes down, all that. And when you add the potential burden of a suicidal child that they need to respond to in real time, I mean, that's a responsibility. First of all, they're not trained for. Second of all is, God forbid something happens, the guilt and the anguish that could happen from them missing an alert. And third, you know, maybe something that's a false positive and then reaching out could be a liability in and of itself because of privacy issues. So, and without them having the training. So it's really important, you know, to think about these things and have a pipeline in place on how to deal with these things and technologies that can point the right people that have the skill sets and the training to be able to deal with the issues that our technologies can provide insight to.
Ross, you know, something we don't often talk about is, you know, LimeWise is blocking access to pornography, right? But there are sometimes sites where kids have posted self-generated child pornography. If you're a network administrator, the last thing you want to do is be looking at child pornography of your students, right? So that's where combined together, we can offer a better solution.
Absolutely. And you think about, you know, unfortunately, every year, multiple times a year, on the news, you hear about a student-teacher relationship, right? Or you hear about that's inappropriate, right? Or you hear about, you know, some school employee or someone what they call in a position of trust that accesses illegal adult content, right? In your school, you should know about some of these things. So as an example, one of our, you know, the other partnerships we have, and we've kind of talked about this, is a really strong organization called Project Arachnid that logs globally every child pornographic site that's available. So what we do as an organization as well is scrub across all the districts and the millions of students that we, you know, help protect through content filtering, all the staff accounts and all their logs against this list to look for people in a position of trust that may have an interest in illegal adult content. Unfortunately, we have had to be in contact with the Department of Homeland Security. And I'm sure you have some similar instances where you've been in contact with FBI, I mean, and others, right? I mean, have you dealt with some of those types of scenarios?
Oh, it seems like every day we're finding child pornography, right, that we're dealing with. We work with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to register those images so that they don't get reshared. And we've got one case where we intercepted pornography being sent to an 11-year-old girl at a district, which eventually resulted in the arrest of a child predator 3 states away.
Wow. And yes, we're tech companies and a really strong, you know, financial business, but the type of impact that our technologies, you know, really can make, you know, almost really humbles you, you know, quite a bit, and, you know, really adds value to what we do. I mean, you have children. I mean, I know I do.
Yeah. Sometimes the things we're dealing with are pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Alana, bring us to something more positive.
Heavy?
Yeah, that was heavy.
Well, I was going to say, you know, obviously AI, technology, human monitoring, it helps these districts identify when there are heavier issues like that. But what about the next steps? You talked about kind of that burden if you know, just the data went to the school districts. But even when a company like Gaggle is involved, can you kind of talk through or give some advice on what the next steps might be? You know, who has to be trained and delegated to, who's notified in specific issues, et cetera?
So the way we like to structure things is we want a number of sort of almost layered emergency contacts, right? So most issues are simple disciplinary issues. They should be dealt with at the school building level. So whether that be an assistant principal, counselor, right? We'd like to have somebody at every school building. And then we'd like to have three emergency contacts at the district level for those very serious items that we can reach out to. And then we do some professional development around how to respond to these things, right? How to, you know, what is serious and what is not, right? How do we want to not overreact? If there is pornography, really alerting our people to know that they should not download that to their phone, right? A simple thing, but like, they don't want to be part of a child pornography distribution ring inadvertently. So it's a lot of training around that. And then starting to work on the protocols that we have these kids in crisis, whether that be bullying, right? How do we react appropriately? Whether it be depression and cutting and self-harm, right? What's the right way to approach that? And then even suicide ideation, right? And knowing how to respond there. That they need to think about what their protocols and plans are. And usually they have these in place, just haven't thought them fully through. Ross, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm seeing some of the districts, unfortunately, looking at this type of data that, you know, can be exposed and saying, I want you to turn that off. I am not ready to accept this type of data. In some of those cases, there are suicidal searches. There are very inappropriate things that, unfortunately, because the society that we live in and a lot of people, you know, can be liable for these things, they want to prepare themselves as a district to deal with some of them, but not expose themselves to liability. So it's a really difficult position to be in as a district. Ultimately, the safety of children should take precedent over everything. But unfortunately, sometimes that's not always the case because of the ignorance around what that data is, right? Or not really knowing. So I'm seeing and working with districts on how to set up the downline, right? Who gets notified and when, and what does that look like? And they need training. They need to leverage services like yours to come in and train their staff on how to set up a series of events that can get to a child as quickly as possible to intervene in a suicide, right? Suicide between, you know, we keep getting back to this topic, but suicide of girls between 10 and 14 years old is up 151%.
Yeah. Ross, so, you know, what you mentioned about some districts don't want to have it turned on, it makes me sad, right? And I understand the liability issues, but like, for your company and mine, we've taken on greater liability just doing this work ourselves because the work is important, it's necessary, and we're both willing to take the risks, and I hope our districts are too.
I think you guys nailed it in that two major things of why a district might feel that way. Number one, they just don't know. They just don't know how to read that data or what to do with it. And then number two, kind of what do they do next? And that's why I think kind of having that proper training in place is really important to be able to get districts to a point where they don't feel like, I don't even want to deal with that, shut that off. Because to your point, it is very important. I mean, we all have a chance, including the districts, to really get in front of the issue or intervene when there's something really serious going on. And, you know, helping these students through it. So I guess in that vein, we spoke about at the beginning the importance of kind of having both sides, that technology, AI, and then the human element of it. So really, it sounds like if districts are going to best be able to keep their kids safe online, they really need both aspects of that. And I wanted to know, Jeff, why is it important for you specifically and your company to partner with other ed tech companies, other, you know, web filters like Linewise?
So not every, well, lots of people know this. I'm not good at partnering. I don't like to partner, right? I've partnered with very few companies, and Linewise is important to me to partner with because making a good web filter is damn hard. It's a really hard thing to do is to make a great web filter. And Linewise is one of the great ones out there. I certainly don't want to do it. Gaggle's not capable of doing it. And so we want to partner with companies that do it well, so that, again, together we can provide a complete solution and save more kids.
And then Ross, I think you alluded to it before, but from your perspective, why is it important for you know, content filter like Linewise to partner with organizations like Gaggle and add that human element?
Well, first of all, you know, I really enjoy talking to Jeff. That's very important to me. If Jeff wasn't there, it might be difficult. No, but in all seriousness, like, you know, we talked about before, that human element is so important, right? Districts do not know how currently to, in a very efficient manner, take a suicidal search that happens inside of an encrypted transaction and get it to the right person, to get to the student in time to be able to intervene, right? They're just not efficient in that because they're wearing so many hats, right? So organizations like Gaggle over 20 years have perfected this process. They have the right, you know, people in place. They have the right professional development in place. And it really enhances our product inside of an organization. I spoke with a district today about cyber safety and how they delegate the alerts that come from a filter to counselors and the right folks. And they said, we have Gaggle for that. As soon as I said we partner and integrate with Gaggle, I mean, it was instantaneous credibility for one. And for two, it really shows that we get it. There's certain things that we can see inside of, you know, a transaction on the internet and on the web that Gaggle can't see. And there's things that Gaggle can see that we can't see. So together, we bring a holistic solution to do as much as possible to look for early indicators of school violence, depression, and self-harm.
Ross, some of the, you probably don't see this as directly from your side, but there's cases where we alert a school district to a student in crisis, a suicide note, whatever, that it comes down to moments, right? We have a case where a young girl who sent a suicide email to her friend, we alerted the school and they found her hanging in the school bathroom, right? They saved her by a minute. So, you know, we are working all the time to how do we get faster? How do we not miss anything? The you know, we feel a giant burden to save all kids, even though we know we can't. And so that's where just moments, sometimes it's moments, and that's why together we can reach those moments faster.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know, Ross, you and I have discussed that, you know, that when you rely solely on the AI component, that's not going to identify everything. And I think something specific that maybe we're, you know, from an AI perspective, it's not quite there yet in being able to identify it is cyberbullying. There's a lot of nuances. It's a very human thing to be able to identify, is this cyberbullying? Is it just banter? And we know that cyberbullying, especially among students, is a real issue and contributes to some of the, you know, self-harm, suicide type of issues that we're seeing. And October actually happens to be National Bullying and Cyberbullying Prevention Awareness Month. So what do you, from your guys' perspective, what's a school district's actual role in preventing something like cyberbullying?
Right. Well, if they have the visibility to it, they have a fiduciary responsibility to intervene. And it's in the, you know, it's in the children's handbooks that they sign. Bullying, you know, 15 years ago would be on the playground. And when the child left school, it was over. Now, because of social media, right, and the ever-connected world, obviously has its pros and cons, it never stops. And the cruelty, you know, has really grown and can have a major impact on children. AI can point to some things that may be cyberbullying, but the natural language processing and machine learning is not advanced enough yet to be able to identify that information on its own, which typically creates a lot of false positives from a pure technology point of view. You need contextual data. When you get that instance, cyberbullying is a very serious thing. You have to look at, okay, what do they search for? Then what did they post in this particular area? Did they, you know, do any cyberbullying on a chat? Did they do it in a Google document? Did they do it in an email? Not any solution on the market has visibility to all of those things together. And certainly the AI is not strong enough to combine all those events together at once. So you need an organization inside of a school district to be able to analyze that. And can you imagine a district with 20,000 students or even 10,000 students, the department required to be able to analyze all that in and of itself? I mean, you would need 100 people, which the funding's not there and doesn't really exist today. So you can leverage technologies like ours to point people in the right direction. But you need really that human element with experience to take the time to go through that data to look for those incidents. And you're going to need to use multiple technologies to do that. So it's a very difficult topic to deal with, but it is important enough to put in the effort and use technologies, you know, like Linewise and Gaggle to look for some of those things. Jeff?
You know, I want to start with something. Nobody thinks that they're a bully, right? We know bullying takes place, but no one says, hey, I'm a bully, right? And so it's interesting to think about that. It's just people being mean in ways that they don't realize how they're affecting others. And so if I was speaking to a school, I'd say, okay, you really need to focus on your culture, right? How do we learn to be kind to each other and recognize when others are in a weaker position or in a vulnerable position and not take advantage of that, or not even take advantage, just help them instead of hurt them, right? Focusing on that. You know, one of the reasons why I think the technologies that we provide is so important is that if you're an educator and you see these kids day after day, right, it's these little small things that are happening. You don't see it as bullying. You don't see the full picture always, right? Because you only see one instance in this moment in time. But I think together we can actually put a better picture together so the districts can recognize when a student's, you know, being a victim and that maybe others are being aggressive, and then they can address both students. Like, you know, how can you pull back from being so aggressive, and here's why it's coming off as bullying? And even to the victim, how do we help them get stronger, right? So those are the things that I would speak to a school district about that I'd like them to focus on.
That's a really interesting point at it, and really leaving the technology aside and addressing it as a social issue and a culture issue. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, nobody says I'm a bully, right? You know, they need to be taught that this is how your actions affect others, and the professional development, you know, needs to be delivered for people that are on the playground, for people that are monitoring the technology, to be able to recognize some of that and have corrective action that isn't always negative, that teaches. And that's a really interesting component.
And that's where your school districts are focused, specifically on prevention. When you know, Jeff, you talk about that culture. Because there's, you know, the technology might help the districts identify when bullying is going on, but even before that, how can they prevent it from even happening?
Oh, you know, I recognize something that I should share with you that we're doing that I'm excited about. So as you know, in both of our companies, we're focused on identifying those kids in crisis, but we don't really do a lot to help. We just identify them. We don't help them, right? And so I don't know if you're aware, but we launched a teletherapy solution a couple months back so that now we can identify those kids in crisis and we can actually help get them the help so they can get past whatever trauma they're facing.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, we should talk about partnering a little bit more on that and getting that out through our community solution. And you may not be aware, but we have a community product that we offer to our districts as well that help them educate parents on how to deal with some of the communication that comes from the school that says your child did look at pornography or your child, you know, was a bully, or, you know, some of those areas that parents, you know, there's not a lot of guidance on for some of those. So I think, you know, combined, we could look at, you know, partner on some of those solutions as well to, you know, provide some help there.
Ilana, you had a question around bullying, and I think maybe, you know, where is it occurring, right? And mostly just because I want to have a good conversation. So obviously we know what's happening in social media, Snapchat, I probably think mostly Instagram. But just, I want to share something with you that my 15-year-old daughter said to me. I was asking her about bullying and Xbox, right? What was going on Xbox? And she said, if you're a 13-year-old boy on Xbox, either you are bullying somebody or being bullied. Apparently it's super aggressive in the Xbox community. And what parents don't know is that there's this whole chat system within Xbox that kids are chatting with adults and others around the world. And in fact, there's an app on the phone that allows them to direct message through Xbox and maybe even talk with people from around the world. So you're an adult, you've locked down your kid's phone because you're concerned about who they're communicating with, but you give them an Xbox account and you've suddenly lost control to the whole world. Fascinating.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, part of the complete solution is a community approach to that, right? You know, and coaching parents and to have the knowledge on, you know, exactly what you talked about. The same thing happens on PlayStation. The same thing happens on Fortnite with PC gaming as well. Really across the board to monitor those things. And, you know, manufacturers, you know, such as, you know, Xbox and PlayStation, need to provide companies like ours access to some of that data so that we can get in front of this pandemic that is, you know, self-harm and the cyberbullying issues to, you know, identify those folks. And using technologies that have been baked and trialed and tested with millions and millions of students every day, their data going through our systems and us perfecting those to with the visibility that we have. You know, I think that if those companies, you know, knew, this would be, you know, a really strong partnership into that part of the world as well, to have a community approach. And it really is the truth that it takes a village to, you know, raise a child. And now you know, 15 years ago, as a parent, you could control who their friends were and who came over and played video games maybe with them and you could judge their friends as a parent to say, I don't want you hanging out with that kid because I have intuition and I can see things that you can't see. The parent skill set has been taken away from them because of the social interactions that are now happening online that are encrypted that parents don't have visibility to. So it's incredibly, you know, important, you know, for us to push to those level of partnerships. It really does take a village.
Yeah, and I know we kind of, the analogy we sometimes use at LineWise when it comes to kind of ensuring that parents, school districts, whoever it may be, have that visibility into what their kids are doing online. If you compare it to when kids are just out and about, you said, you know, 15 years ago, we kind of didn't have this online component. It was just physically being there, physically watching your children and making sure they're okay. When you kind of compare the two scenarios, if you were a parent or a guardian of a child and you kind of drop them in the middle of the worst part of town, Skid Row in LA, whatever it may be, you're going to watch them like a hawk. You're going to make sure that they're safe. You're gonna, you know, be right there with them to make sure that they're not getting into harm. And while there are a lot of benefits, of course, to being online, social media, all of that, it's enriched, you know, a lot of people's lives. There's also those elements that are really dangerous, like online predators, cyberbullying, etc. And so we need to make sure that we're there, kind of monitoring them, watching them, and guiding them to, you know, make the right decisions through it. Until they're old enough, they're adults where they can kind of navigate it themselves. So I like that analogy because it kind of, you know, when you get some of that pushback of, are we infringing on their rights or is it okay to monitor them? Well, are you watching your kid when they're, you know, at a park in the middle of New York City and there's, you know, strangers all around? Yeah, you're going to watch them and make sure that they're doing all right. So
yeah, that's really great.
Is that a wrap?
I think that's a wrap.